And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of our continent's eminent voiceover artists, Chilulemba, the voiceover plug.
Thank you, Destro, for that beautiful voice on the intro of the show. And that's a familiar voice to the voiceover plug because Destro's voice is on the intro and the outro and some stings which you don't ordinarily hear. But today, guess what? Destro is one of the guests on the show. But we have not only one, but two guests on this episode of the voiceover plug. So Destro Fundanga, also known as Dexter Fundanga, is one of them. But the spotlight is on Kamiza Chikula, who is a voiceover artist and a communicator. Good friend of mine. We've known each other for close on 30 years. Destro I've known for, I guess, 4 years now. But the two gentlemen represent very different but exciting voiceover journeys. And so they're both my guests on the voiceover plug. And as a bonus, if you want to get to YouTube, you can see this episode, although you won't see Destro or myself, but you will see Kamiza because the focus is on him, on a channel called Zed Flashback. So check for Zed Flashback and check for the episode, which is to do with voiceovers, and you will have a visual representation of this show. But if you're here because you love the audio format of the voiceover plug, you're in good company. We're about to kick it off. And so it is me, Chilulemba, and my guest, Destro, chatting to our other guest, Kamiza Chikula, and finding out about his journey and chiming in with anecdotes and information and all sorts of things from our own perspectives. Let's get into it.
The voiceover plug with Chilulemba.
You see the pressure when you're with like voiceover artists with big voices. Destro even like goes two octaves lower.
The pressure's like it. Suddenly he's doing Darth Vader moves on us. Calm, stand down, young man.
Well, let me start with a very abstract, I suppose, question which can have like 3,000 responses. Mm. Do you think, because you're successful in the field that we find ourselves in, communication, public speaking, voiceover, yeah. Yeah. And that realm of things, do you think people are born intrinsically with the ability to possibly be successful in that respect? Or is it something that you acquire as you go along? Is it a DNA thing? Is it a luck of the draw in terms of your genes? Mm. What is it?
Mm. The whole nature-nurture argument. Mm. There's an element of both. There's some people who have an ability to do certain things, but there's never any harm in enhancing that and learning. I've always been a blabbermouth. I was always on every noisemaker's list. So talking is not a problem. Now, channeling that talking and making it worthwhile and meaningful and knowing when enough is enough, when to stop and when to keep going, that needed growth and that needed teaching. So of course, I had a cheat code in that I'm the son of two teachers. Mm. And you had to speak right, you had to write right.
Right. You see what I did there? You're judging yourself.
Right, right. Yeah, like, oops. Yeah, and I'm looking out for the whip right now. Yeah, but you had to communicate adequately. And I think as the years went on, I got more comfortable in my own skin, knowing I had people who would judge my every sentence each time I spoke. And that took the pressure off each time I'd speak publicly. Mm. So to answer you, yes, there's the benefit of being born with some sort of gifting, but that has to be enhanced. You've got to learn the ins and outs.
There's one little, I don't know if you'd call it an anecdote. You're more savvy with the king's language now, eh?
King's
language. Than I am. Wow, like,
yeah.
So I'm gonna tell this little story. Destro, if you've got a question, you can come in. But I always used to think that the only difference between what we do and what call boys at the bus stations do, if anyone's listening right now and doesn't know what a call boy is, when you're at a busy bus station in, say, Lusaka, you have these guys who are shouting, Chilenje, you know, but they're calling people to and giving them an indication of which bus they should get onto.
Yeah.
And once they do that call boy duty, they'll get, how much would it be today,
from the bus drivers? There's a percentage, so they get a cut.
There's
a fixed rate that per cut bus is small. They load.
That guy's got a good voice.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing that we're doing, but without a microphone and getting much less.
Yeah.
Whereas what we're doing, we're just dignified call boys who are operating at a different level and getting paid much more. Look at you.
Well, now, since you went there.
the argument can be
pulled. Yeah. It could follow that we're the combo of the driver and the call boy. I call my own people, you see, as I drive this bus.
No, okay, but anyway, the crux of the story is that we're all using our voice. What is the difference? The difference is maybe the level of education that's been invested if you are doing voiceover in the king's language versus a situation where the guy's got a gift, but maybe he hasn't had the opportunity
to
get where you are academically. But at the end of the day, what we're doing is more or less we're communicating.
Correct.
In essence.
Correct.
Yeah.
The end game for both of us at either end of that spectrum is we need a result. The person hiring us to do a voiceover wants to elicit an action from our voiceover and our delivery. So we're doing the same thing. We're enticing people. We're attracting people to act upon what we're saying to them. So a person walking through a bus stop needs to hear this call boy yelling out which bus he's supposed to board, and he'll tell him, this one's almost full, get onto this one, don't bother with that one, that'll take a while. And ultimately, the end game is we're both getting paid to get people to do something.
Yeah.
So that's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
And I think, truth be told, there is an opportunity even for brothers like that. It's just that the market hasn't grown yet. We don't have enough diversity going on. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure guys with vocals that strong have a place where they can fit in the spectrum, where they can earn decent amounts.
I'm just dovetailing off that before you come in, Destro, in that there's a new ad that's just been released. It's an MTN ad, which has the scenarios. You see they've got a beautiful aerial shot of a bus, and there's a voice of a conductor in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't involved in the production. It's a great production. And I kind of wish, like, if there was an opportunity to empower an authentic,
an actual
conductor, that would have been a dope opportunity to empower, you know, somebody like that, as opposed to using a seasoned voice actor, you know, which I'm not sure was the case, but, you know, who knows? You want to jump in with a question?
What's very interesting is that I wrote that script.
Surprise, surprise.
And I did the voiceover.
So this question should be directed at Destro, not me. I mean, I know nothing. Yeah. He clearly understands.
But there was when I said what I said, I had no idea that I was sitting next to the person who did both those tasks. That's my disclaimer.
Explain the vibe. Yeah, he was very sheepish. I was like, what's going on here? It's not like him.
Wow. Well, we did kind of like have an idea during the conception of the idea to give conductors like a megaphone, you know, either conductors or call boys. But of course it was going to be branded and everything, just to really highlight what we're trying to do, which is saluting the everyday hero instead of using the term hustler. I guess the question that I wanted to ask, hightailing off of what you had said, is what's been the biggest challenge in your journey up to date? Yeah. What's been the biggest challenge in your journey?
I would have to say it's getting the respect due to the craft that we have found ourselves in. For the longest time, it was, you're just speaking. What's the big deal? Anyway, you're just recording a voiceover. Anybody can do this. Anyone who speaks English can do it. Oh, do it then. Do it. And I think, I must say, it's an interesting scenario that arose when COVID-19 hit, because suddenly people realized they weren't going to be able to use conventional and traditional media to get to their audiences. The audiences still existed, they just weren't allowed to move. So suddenly there was a need to invest in a lot more voiceover work to get their message out using socials. And I think that, for us as an industry, was a turning point. It was a watershed moment when things transformed, and suddenly there was a realization that we actually need these guys. And I think, if we're being realistic, that was the first time rates became decent enough to say, yeah, okay, we're getting paid. We're actually getting paid. So Yeah, the volume game kicked in as well, where even if the rate didn't grow exponentially, just the sheer numbers of scripts that were coming through transformed the game. And you're like, okay, this actually makes sense. Mm. Now the return on investment started to come through because you'd invested in a high-end microphone and an interface and software, and you're licensing on an annual basis or a monthly basis, depending on which subscription you've gone for. And suddenly, you're like, it's actually paying for itself, and I've got something left over. So that was a game changer.
There's something that we had a conversation some months ago, and it was to do specifically with growth, because I heard an ad that you did, which was on, I think, Supersport, can't recall. Mm. And it was just sounding so dope. And I remember reaching out and saying, man, you just sound very comfortable. It's just like, was it a GoTV ad? I can't remember.
I still recall, because you took a little video and said, hey, you're sounding good on this. This is alive.
And
I was like, wow. So it made me go back and listen in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you asked, what's changed?
Exactly. So that's what I'm asking you again. What's because even with me, and I'm sure Destro, the same thing is, you can listen to your old stuff and realize that what you're doing now is at a higher level. You're producing something richer, something which connects more, and so on. Yeah. But it's very difficult to pinpoint, like, when did this happen? And that's what I'm interested in. Is there something, a light bulb moment now when you look back and you listen to that stuff and you listen to what you're doing now, like, what's changed to bring that through?
I hear you. It's a long answer, but let me try and slice and dice it. What's changed is, I think we're no longer trying to prove ourselves. So the pressure that we were under previously was, I need to show them that I'm good at what I do. Yeah. So that they know I'm worth the money that they're going to pay me, and also so that they appreciate the craft and the trade. And then we've shifted into a space where, like, you know what? You know I'm good at what I do. Hmm. You know that I'm going to deliver, and now I'm comfortable in my own skin. And if there's one word that sums it up, it's comfort. I'm comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to sound like anybody else. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're just doing you. And when you get into that state, it's like you're fully present, you're fully conscious of what you're doing, and some call it the flow state. You're actually enjoying it. You're like, you realize I'm alive and I can do this and I'm happy. And it's yielded a lot of single take recordings where you record and you ask, would you like another take? And the client says, no, don't waste our time. Just go and mix that and send it. We've got no time to waste with second takes and third takes. Let's go. Wow. Like, are you sure? Just as a reference, we are fine.
Go away. Give us space.
So I think it's really just arriving at a place where you say, I'm me. Yeah. Hello, world.
I want your clients, the ones that say no second take. All my clients, we're still on third take, fourth take.
That's
my reality. Do you want to ask another one before I shoot?
I guess from there, I think the next question I have is, what do you think of AI? Because I've been seeing a lot of, like, Facebook ads and Instagram ads, even YouTube videos where the voiceover narrator is AI. Mm. You know, what do you think that means for us as voiceover artists?
Nuance. AI has its limitations. Mm. I dare AI to go off and read a script which has the word chanshi mbimungongo in it. Let's see your servers run that. The one advantage we still have is the content that we create, especially for Africa.
Yeah.
Needs to have an African nuance to it. Mm, There's no way I'm going to accept a pronunciation that is off when I'm trying to say Chibuluma. Chibuluma. Like, no. All you need to do to understand the limitations of AI is run GPS and listen to the way it butchers local names on streets. And you'll be like, what? You're like, what did you say? So for now, I think we're in the clear. Okay. But the unfortunate thing is the whole value versus price argument kicks in.
Yeah.
And there'll always be that client who'll value pricing issues over value.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, it's cheaper. We already have this AI engine, so may as well just run the script through that. And it's okay if it sounds robotic. We don't care. We'll get the message across. But gratefully, there are people who realize quality still stands and you require a human element to be believable. And while that stands, touch wood, we're still safe. We don't need a new trade just yet.
I'll tell you guys a story. And by the way, my view in terms of AI is that I think we can win in some instances, and I'll share examples. But the thing is, I've just shared those examples on another podcast. So I don't, but I'll tell you guys that story. But what I wanted to share with you is that there's a sound engineer in South Africa. I think it's Mickey. I'm trying to remember which studio. And so he had been briefed to do a campaign. It was for some awards thing, which was meant to demonstrate what you've just said, that AI is very far from humans.
Right.
So it was meant to give AI a script that it reads, and it was meant to be like, you know, that compared to a real person is going to be, you know, very far apart. Now, I don't know if he was exaggerating, but he says, so they put in the word closer, you know, so that it trips up AI and all that kind of stuff. Then he says they pressed it and it butchered the phrase and they were so happy. Then the second time he pressed it, third time he pressed it, AI was getting it right.
It had cleaned it up.
So he says by the fourth time now, they're battling to make AI sound bad because it's learning. It's pulling from all its resources from wherever it was to get this stuff correctly. So just that's like a little scare story.
Yeah, no. I had warned these chaps. I told them, this Terminator thing you're messing with here. I'm just saying.
Might need to get Will Smith.
Yes. There was a prophetic film that was released called Terminator.
E-Robot.
E-robots.
I don't know, somebody was calling the Matrix the Matrix. But anyway, so here's my one thing, and you guys tell me whether, because of late I've realized that what we do, and I've been saying this probably to the annoyance of a number of people now, is that if you distill it, what we're doing is we're transferring a vibe.
Yeah,
that's what we do with our things. So
if
somebody asks you about, you know, teach me about breath technique and whatnot, I'm sure there are guys who can coach. I'm more of the feeling that we should be understanding that we're transferring, if it's joy, if it's joyful, it's a sale.
Yeah.
ShopRite, like the ones you do, you know, it's a celebration that's being transferred from one form to another.
Correct.
You know, joy, sadness, all that stuff. That's what we're really doing.
Correct.
And the paper with the words just happens to be where the visionary of these scripts, people like Destro, have placed the you know, the context and the content.
Exactly.
And then we are meant to just bring those words from paper, bring them to you know, to life.
Exactly. So you bring out something very important. A copy or script writer hears their script in their heads. And until the voiceover artist delivers it and it matches and is in sync with what they heard, they're not satisfied.
Yeah.
Which is why if you've got a client who's got their script writer sitting in with you to direct, they'll tell you, no, not quite.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, but this is what I know. This is how it says, okay, I want the intonation up and down.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, because they heard it as they wrote it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff which currently it'll take many lines of code to tell AI how to do that. Whereas in the studio, like, listen, here's a guide. I want you to say this. And okay, cool. Yeah. And you go off and says, that's the one. But now in your voice.
Yes. And I think what will happen, like, going forward, if we touch on the AI story, is that there's some guys who are, I think, musical, who are able to probably kind of build grids into like a waveform to enable it to get those little nuances
and
but those are the guys I think who will be
those are the
key.
Dangerous ones.
Those are the dangerous guys, not even the voiceover artist like programmers. Those guys, those
we need
those.
To find those
and eliminate
those are the guys
them.
Working at Skynet, right?
Oh yeah, everything is X.
Yeah, bring them to me.
Yeah. My question to you is, somebody is diving into the industry. We always get people who want to get our advice.
Correct.
Because they see it as an opportunity to just talk and be paid. You know? What kind of advice now do you have for somebody like that, which I suppose would be different to if you were asked the same question some years ago, because we're growing?
Yeah.
Where would you pitch your advice for guys who are coming into the industry now?
Invest in the long game. It's not quick, fast, and in a hurry. The returns will only start to show up after you perfect your craft. You spoke at the beginning, we've known each other, 30 odd years? Mm. It's only now we're at a level where you say, oh, okay, cool. I'm earning a decent living off of this. Yeah. That's been an investment. There's been no breaks in between. It's constant improvement, constantly adapting and adjusting, learning the newest techniques, and never resting on our laurels. You can't rest in this game. It's constantly changing. New talent is showing up every day. You know the whole old adage, it's cliche. We learn from other people's mistakes. We are the other people. So the next generation don't have to make our mistakes, and they can learn from the mistakes that we made and are able to shorten the process of them getting to a place where they're recognized. But that said, they too will be the other people to someone else. So constantly improve, constantly adapt. The best part is, as we grow older, there are certain voiceovers that just work because they want a certain sound. Yeah. You know, and it works. So there's plenty to go around. Don't go in there thinking, I'm going to take over the industry. No, you're not. There are people who've been in the game longer than you've been alive. So be patient. And most importantly, be humble. Just be humble. I mean, I'm still learning and I have lots to learn. And what's funny is now I've ended up at that age where a lot of the people who are teaching me what I need to survive in the game are a lot younger than me. Mm. And so it's a humbling occasion to sit and be taught stuff by someone who was probably not born when you were starting the game.
Yeah,
but you've got to learn.
Absolutely.
And be grateful and don't go in there with attitude. Do you know who I am? I am voice man. No. Sit down. You're a student here. Just learn.
Take many seats.
Yes, teacher. Teach me your kung fu.
Yeah. I think to the point of being humble, that's true. Because a lot of people, when they meet me, they don't know that I do voiceovers.
Mm.
You know, they don't even know which voiceovers I've done.
Exactly.
Until I say, oh, yeah, I actually did that one. Oh, okay, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess the question that I have to ask is, what do you believe the voiceover marketplace, especially in Zambia, needs in order for it to become a respectable industry?
Without offending any client or anyone who's in the game, value your brand enough to invest in the right voices. Some of the voice actors that go off and do so, just yell into a mic. If you want that to be your brand idea, good for you.
I guess it was cheaper.
Cheaper, yeah. Cheap and cheerful, but you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And I think if we show each other respect, you know that you're handing your script over to a person who respects your brand and will treat it with the respect that is due to it and deliver at that level. It's worth paying for. It's worthwhile because that with the digital frontier, stuff is there for perpetuity now. True. Generations will come and go and they'll still hear this and say, eeeh, they allowed this out there? Like, we've evolved. But just give the dues where they're due. Mm. Pay what's needed for the artists to be able to say, yeah, I'm proud to do this work. Mm. And not be begrudging in their delivery because like, no, man, this is not fair, man. I've got a family to feed. You can't be giving me this. So yeah, treat the voice actor as a partner and not just a vendor who's reading out the voiceover script. Yeah.
As we wrap, I didn't want to put pressure on you. I wanted to say right at the beginning that if there's one person that I know who doesn't do when he's talking, it's this guy.
Oh, wow, really?
Rewind this episode and try and find any arms from Kamisa Chikola. You will be hard pressed to find one. You're blessed, man. You're blessed. Yeah, you're one above us. That's a wrap.
One for the history books.
And that was the voiceover plug with Chilulemba. Catch Chilu on social media using the handle @Chilulemba. And if you haven't checked out his memoir, Finding My Voice, get it as an audiobook on Audible and ebook or paperback on Amazon.